AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blehash.
Well, welcome once again to our Wednesday edition here on 860 AM. I'm really happy that you tuned in. And I ask that if you live in the tri-state area where our general signal is in southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, because we have a lot of good stuff we're going to be discussing today. Also, if you receive today's announcement in the email, send it off to another person where they can go to the front page of our site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and click on the Listen Live link. They'll be able to listen to rebroadcasts of today's show after the program is over, about an hour and a half later. A rebroadcast goes up there, and I would like to say, do spread the word. As I'm going around at the various events and job fairs and picnics and all, I'm seeing a lot of people who are speaking up about what we're talking about in a bigger way than I've ever seen before. There's been a real change in America, and I think it's a change for the best. Today with us, I'm pleased to announce that we're going to have a few of our very faithful panel members, Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, as well as Larkin Connolly, the small business advocate and SCORE mentor. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology, is on a special assignment again this week. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blehash. Always happy to be with you, and thank you for stopping me in the travels that I go on and the various events to let me know what you think. And also, some of our Wednesday listeners are now tuning into our Saturday variety program, which is really very interesting. So we're a multicultural audience, and we're having a good time doing it. One of the things that whenever I go out, I usually pass out flyers about the show. And of course, Larkin's picture is on there, Rich Loge's picture is on there, and Mark's picture is on there, along with myself. And I give it out to people, and some people are new people, and I ask them to tune in. Others say, I already hear you guys, and I like what you have to say. And they also tell me that there is so many good things that they hear from us that they wish they heard it across the major news media, all the CNNs and the Fox News, but that is simply not happening. But we've had a person who was out on leave a little bit, going to some special events, and I'm going to first ask our very well-known panel member, Mark Andel, to give us an update on what's been happening with you.
Mark. Hello, Michael and Larkin and Henry, and Rich is probably out there. Mike, it's great to be back in my seat and on your show, and it's been a great July. Just so much has happened, and Mike, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were at Jam in the Valley here, a big music festival, and we had Toby Keith, and it was his 56th birthday. But I'll tell you, Toby Keith believed in Made in America. We had an awesome event. We had a store set up there. People wore our shirt but loved Made in America and realized that it's the tool that could fix this country. And then we went off to, last week I was in Connecticut. We sell the Boss Snowplow. But Boss Snowplow is a very good company up in the UP, Upper Peninsula of Michigan, about 300 Americans, middle class, that work hard and really put a lot of time into snow removal equipment. So it was an honor to be with them. We met at a casino out on the East Coast and really just talked about making their product better as a team. And, you know, reminds me of something we need to do as a country, kind of to team up and really get things rolling. And then, you know, over the weekend, we, with Washington last week announcing Made in America Week, Mike, just took us to another level last week. And I think everybody was in surprise, and not that it hasn't been done before, but we went local media. We had our TV7 and radio stations, WEC and WBN, but then the Japanese interviewed me for a big story, releasing real soon the largest newspaper over there, Nakati. It's a business paper, and it's going to release more than 12 million copies a day. They interviewed me for about an hour about Made in America and why it matters. And then Friday, we were blessed to have Scott Paul out of Washington with the Alliance of American Manufacturing. We did two podcasts. So we had local, national, international interviews last week. The American Made movie took off again, Mike, and a lot going on with Made in America. It does matter, and it's neat when it's mentioned nationally. And it just shows if they talked about it more and if people really looked at it more and exposed it more, how much traction it could get.
You're absolutely right. You know, a listener sent me a note just the other day, and I thought this is a very good time for me to throw this in. Americans are no longer interested in cheap products. We're becoming less and less of a throwaway society. And they gave some ideas, like just look at how many of the stores specializing in cheap products are slowly going out of business. Look at some of the sites that are offering, the internet sites offering those cheap products, slowly going to better products or downsizing their products. It's happening. A lot of change is coming. We can't continue to spend money on things that mean nothing to us. The internet has definitely had a major impact. And what the president did last week with the Made in America Week, that is wonderful. I want him very much to promote the Made in America month, because that month, I put that up on the internet, and I'm going to ask everybody if they would look at the very bottom of our site and click on the Made in America month link. It has the whole schedule for the month of November. Already some of our political people want to push it in the state of Pennsylvania. We have the proclamation up on the front page from last year. And if you have a state senator or a congressman or a local council person that wants information of how to celebrate the month, it's all outlined on the bottom of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It's really something. I'm very pleased that President Trump did this, and I hope that we'll be able to all work together, get Scott Paul and all the other people to push American Made Month during the month of November. Because as you mentioned before, it's the last quarter of the year, and it's time for us to focus on not only the products, but also the businesses that are employing local people. We do this monthly, the National Small Business Weekend. Some of the stores have really gone wild in our area, in our broadcast area. They give you little treats if you mention that you're coming in to support a National Small Business Weekend. They'll give you a baker's dozen with rolls or whatever. They'll give you a free soda with your pizza. These are the kinds of things that have to be promoted. And what you're doing, Mark, there, even with the jam in the valley, I saw some of the pictures. It was absolutely great. This is what has to happen.
And Mike, before Larkin's probably, I believe he's fired up, I just want to say one more thing. This past Friday, the 21st, we actually had the concert with Ricky Lee and the full American band, and we had Lee Greenwood concert at this Batavia Downs, which is about an hour from us in Buffalo. And they took a store-on-store on just a 10-foot by 10-foot store last fall. I had a good friend there, Michael Nolan, you know, kind of believed in me and believed in it. And it took a while to get it off the ground, but it's now making profit. And we had this event last Friday. The sun was out, beautiful skies. Ricky nailed it with his band. Lee Greenwood, just unbelievable, 74 years old, what he put out. And I found out a lot about Lee Greenwood. I talked to him, and he said, this week the president's going to know about your store, Mark. He's going down there because it's Heroes Week. A lot of people don't know it's Heroes Week. That's announced out of D.C. But it was an awesome event, and I got time on stage and welcomed. And we'll get you a clip, Mike. But people believe in it, and they love it. And I just want to say, last week, from the local, national, international, the interviews were different than 7 years ago. We got a lot more respect. They did a lot more homework when they interviewed me. I think it was the best week of interviews, because we joke we couldn't convince them, so we confused them. But they're believing this movement is very, very strong and needed.
Very much so. And I want to ask you, Mark, if you could ask Ricky Lee and also be in contact with Lee Greenwood. Maybe there could be something done during the month of November to promote this, to bring people out, to bring the manufacturers out, to show what they have to offer for the holiday season. Let's get people focused on American Made. It's going to take more time than we believe.
You know, we got to have a Michael Bleach concert down in Philly.
You know. Well, we're working on two other things, Mark.
Henry's been practicing.
And Henry's ready to go. Henry and his Henry. Band, he's ready to go.
I got my accordion out for you, Larkin.
Larkin, how have you been?
Well, Michael, I have been wonderful. And Mark, welcome back. Even though you did visit us last week for a brief time, I hope you had a successful event last week on Wednesday. I have been suffering through a lot of rain and snakes and all the rest of the things that daily rain brings out in Florida, but have been doing very well. For an opener, I wanted to congratulate a young lady that we've had on the program, Patrice Banks, who is the founder of Girls Auto Clinic on Westchester Pike. Congratulate her on being included in Philadelphia, the best of Philadelphia, in Philadelphia Magazine. She has a full-page picture under the section called Helpers and Fixers. A broken pipe, those ripped jeans, your busted bike, that smelly pup, who you going to call? These guys and gals, the helpers and fixers of Philadelphia. And she is the first person mentioned in a full-page picture. It's quite the classic picture. So I'd like to congratulate Patrice on her nomination and winning Best of Philadelphia.
And Mark and I'd only like to add that she can be grateful to you because you were a mentor of hers with her score.
Yes. Yeah, and I've enjoyed every minute of watching the whole movement, her whole movement develop and get legs. And, I don't know many people who could have pulled it off, but Patrice did quite handily. And very, very good on her feet, is speaking all over the country and on behalf of women's initiatives and the power of the female gender. And I congratulate her. And the sky's the limit for Patrice, and I think we can be very proud that we had her on very early in her development.
Our congratulations. Larkin, well said. And check out the Philadelphia Magazine, where you will see Patrice and a few other people there featured in this edition of the magazine.
Great small businesses that represent the backbone of Philadelphia. There's 295 of them, and there's not a big business in the group, I can promise you.
Well, this is really what it's all about. I can't tell people enough how we are returning slowly to supporting our local businesses. Yes, it's true that many people are just ordering quickly on the internet, but people are also starting to walk the avenues, the strips where the stores are, and going in, and every store doesn't have to offer you a product. You have the pizza shops, the hoagie shops, the coffee shops. These are all small businesses, bringing in employees to work the store, and they need your business very badly. Remember, the first weekend of the month is always National Small Business Weekend, but every day of the year is a day to support your small businesses, just to make sure that they stay there and it keeps your neighborhood vibrant for now and in the future. What else has been going on with you, Larkin?
Not a lot. I can report to those that are listening in Philadelphia, our small business friends, that SCORE is Philadelphia is about to announce shortly. I'm hoping sometime in the month of August a very, very aggressive workshop program in which we will be covering such subjects as how to start a nonprofit. We're going to have technology workshops, managing your personal finances, franchising as a business option. Just myriad different great workshops that will be presented by subject experts and will be nothing but help for the small business community.
Well, Larkin, keep us posted so we can announce some of those things and make it known to the people. And if there are anyone in the group that would like to join our broadcast at any point, just let me know.
Yes. That's great. That's a great offer. Thank you, Michael.
Very nice. I think we need to hear this kind of stuff. The news media, I'll tell you, I'm turned off with all the negativity. But when I hear something good, I'm really cheered up. And I think Americans need some cheering up. You know, we have been through many historic dates in America. And last week, I did a commentary on my Saturday show, and it was focused mainly on the 240 million Americans using cell phones every day. And I got a lot of responses from that, and it's true. People just buy the cell phones and normally don't even look where they're made or whatever. They just go into the store. Everything is run in and run out. Well, today I'd like to take a minute, guys, and just say thank you to the man who invented this cell phone. It was Martin Cooper. And by the way, that big event took place on April the 3rd, 1973. It was a very historic date as Martin Cooper, who invented the cell phone, had a press conference in New York in the Hilton Hotel, Midtown. If anybody goes up there, you know exactly the place where the Hilton is. And Mr. Cooper took his handheld wireless mobile phone and called an AT&T Bell Laboratories executive, because Motorola, where he worked and invented the phone, was a competitor of AT&T Bell. And he let him know that he was calling him from a wireless cell phone on the pavement of the Hilton Hotel, where he was going in to have the press conference. Well, that was a very interesting day, and that will go, it's certainly down in history, April 3rd, 1973. And the two of them spoke, and it was the first public introduction of a wireless mobile cell phone. If you look up Martin Cooper, it goes right to the picture of him using that cell phone on in New York, Midtown New York. And you know, guys, you're all on cell phones. Larkin, you're on cell phones. I'm on cell phones. Henry's on cell phones. Rich is on cell phones. Everybody's on a cell phone. Over the years, we've all seen, whether it's the last 5 years, 10 years, we've all seen many, many upgrades in the cell phone, making it easier for all of us to carry and do this and that. It was in, I remember in the late 1990s, I got a cell phone, and it made it easy for me to communicate with just about everybody that I knew. I'd do business on the cell phone. Well, the bottom part of the story is, today, 240 plus million accounts are in the United States of America. The cell phone was invented in America by Mr. Martin Cooper. The cell phone was made in America for many years by Motorola and others, Texas Instrument. Today, nothing is made in America. Today, 240 million Americans use their cell phone for communications. They listen to music. They connect to radio programs like ours. They watch television programs, just to name a few, but nothing made in America. Now, that's the question. Mark, if I was the man asking you for a solution, what would you like to add to that? How can we change this mentality around?
Well, yeah, I believe, like Mr. Cook that owns, you know, the iPhone, the AT&T, you know, we use, I hate to say that I'm on the phone all the time, but with texting and email, and it's such a communication device. I live and breathe it, especially being away, Mike, or whatever, riding in a car with my brother to the East Coast. I'm on that small iPhone. It's amazing what you can do with it. Now, Corning Glass, I believe, made the glass on the iPhone and still may make some components. It can be done. If they sell a phone for $600, I remember hearing there's $200 or $400 profit. So you could give up $50 and make it in the country. It absolutely could be made here. So I think the technology we have to get, and I believe they are going to make more components here. They've got to keep driving that. I just was tested by a guy the other day. Does anybody on the, you know, you guys know what the oldest TV was made, the last TV to be made in the country, who it was by?
No. Who was that?
It ends up being Zenith, you know, and that was the last one made. But it's a shame. We've got to have the want, and we've got to drive to have it made here because it can be made here, and you can use automation and, you know, different robotics to make it here. So I think we got to keep going. It's such a useful device, and it's only growing and growing and growing in your mobile apps, as Mike would tell you. You know, any of them, we have to continue to want and push, and I think, Mike, just you bringing this up today, it's amazing if you do. You just said 240
million? 240
million accounts?
Accounts.
You know, and if you did the math on that, times $200 or $400, you see the money involved and then the plans and the programs, but it's only growing, but it does make you efficient. You are lost without it. When I graduated high school, we didn't have, they had one that looked like a fire brick, you know, like a brick you held.
Yeah.
That nobody had.
Well, before, prior to Mr. Cooper's invention, some people had it in the car, police had it in the car and things like that, but it was a big device. You had it in your dashboard. But he came up with the totally wireless idea back there in 73.
Yeah.
But my call today is, isn't it time for our engineers in the United States of America to stop bellyaching that they don't have enough jobs to support our engineers and start going into engineering and technology to bring back another generation of cell phones? By the way, every year, cell phones are upgraded. Why can't we have a cell phone made in America upgraded to the newest standard?
And, Mike, you just reminded me about a month or two ago, and Larkin, you may have heard of them, but they're called Bach, B-A-K, and you can look them up. They're made in Buffalo. It's quite a story. The parents were from California. They picked Buffalo because we used to be such a manufacturing city, second largest in the country at one point, believe it or not. But we Bach is a template, so it's a handheld device, similar. It's actually a small laptop. They've got everything. I met the top guy, the owner. I want that 100% laptop. They just don't have the motherboard and one other small component, but they're very close, Mike. So it's coming, and it's probably the first portable unit, the laptop, is probably going to come out of Buffalo. I want to tell you that. And if you look them up, Bach, B-A-K, very interesting. And they believe in every component being made in this country, and they are on it right now.
Very good.
Can't get the motherboard. So that's going to happen. And take a look. And they've made them. They've already made some for schools, but say they're 90% made in our country.
And, you know, we have so many people graduating from all these institutes that have graduated, and they're out with resumes at the various job fairs that I attend. And some of them I ask, well, have you ever considered, you know, going into, you know, making a patent for this or that, which your specialty? And they all say, well, you don't know, it's a lot of work. Nobody makes it easy for us. You sign up for a patent now, you have to pay more money to put that patent in than you realize. You just don't put it in. You have to have legal rights and the whole deal. So I think it's time for people in Washington, people in communications, people in business, to all unite and say, that's wonderful that we have all these cell phones coming into the country. How about we focus on getting at least 50% of the cell phones that are being used in America over the next 10 years? It's not going to happen overnight, but over the next 10 years. And by the way, cell phones of the future, Mr. Cooper was interviewed last year, and he's now, he's up in his 80s now, but he's still focusing on inventing things. He is now focusing on the cell phone being used to help you detect a heart problem and things like that.
Well, how about, Michael, I get the owner of Bach on our radio show here for the listeners and us.
I think, that, Mark, that would
be
wonderful.
He's done a lot of work in this area.
If there was a way for me to get Mr. Cooper, he still does some interviews from what I'm told. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to get him on because he could tell the entire story. I did see an interview with him on YouTube a couple years ago, and I send it out to a few people that had asked me about, you know, jobs. I said, well, you're in engineering, you're in research and technology. Why don't you research that? But as I said, they said, you have no idea how the competitors took all of our rights. They bought up all of our rights. In fact, for the record, Motorola has been bought up by China. So Motorola, yeah, like everything else, Larkin, it's all been bought up by international companies. So they protect their interests, not our American workers, but they protect their interests and just keep sending this stuff over here. And because the American people need it, they purchase it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a conundrum is what it is. It's a catch-22. It's amazing what China is buying that we think we own that we really don't own. I mean, it's really frightening. But, you know, survival for us as a nation is going to take pretty much a perfect storm of education, meeting the needs of an economy that's willing to support startups, a populace that's willing to buy from America, made in America. It's all going to be a perfect storm. There are so many legs of this that and so many tentacles that have an effect on this. It's really kind of an amazing situation. So it's going to take a perfect storm. We can't just say, let's start making things in America.
And, you know, Larkin, where American workers are disappointed is that there's no focus on engineering anything new in America. Everybody is just satisfied to bring in all the products from overseas, sell them in America, and try to downplay the idea that they're foreign made. I mean, need banks, as you've mentioned many times. We need banks. We need business leaders. We need labor to get together. We need all the engineers to get together, the governors, the elected people, and get together and say, how are we going to fill some of those empty buildings in our counties, in our state? How can we have a contest to bring back some industries that we lost in the last 3 to 5 years? And by the way, in every state, if you go on the internet, it tells you everything. How many of these companies just left America in the last 2 or 3 years? Yep. Those people still have the skills. They didn't all just die off in the last 2 years. They still have the skills and the ability to restore those industries.
You know, I'd like to say I've got a nice group tomorrow coming to the store, and it's a group of 21 teachers. They're going to arrive, and they're part of an organization called Dream It, Do It in Western New York. And I think, Mike, we've had somebody on. This program encourages students to pursue manufacturing job, and they're going to stop out and see the Made American. They want to meet me. They've seen the American-made movie. Them are great programs. And, Larkin, I think you know a little bit about Dream It, Do It, but this is of Western New York. But these are things we got to keep rolling and let these teachers keep promoting and inspiring kids to get involved with working with their hands.
And, you know, talking about that, Mark, Dream It, Do It has had very, very fair entrance into the school system. In other words, they don't have the slots. Even when Dr. Dolores Szymanski was on, she mentioned that the school district there in New Jersey has so many slots open for these various trade programs, and they have double the amount of kids, but that's all they're allowed to fill is the money that they have in the budget. That's where we need leaders, local leaders, governors, and all to start speaking up.
I will say this very quickly. The Dream It, Do It initiative, do we all know who's pushing this? Who's putting the money behind it and making it happen?
I met some people, Larkin. This group is out of West New York, but I do know they've seen the movie, but I do not know who is promoting it.
They have been on our show, Larkin, and in fact, they were looking to get involved in a summit that we were suggesting, and I could be in contact with them again.
Very interestingly enough, the backers of the money and the power behind the initiative is the Manufacturing Institute of America.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. So now we've got the right people doing the right things. by starting in secondary schools, by starting in our high schools, and starting to push interest in this. These kids go to a high school where they're cutting out gym. There's no more recess. Art's no longer present. There's no music classes. All the shops have been closed. It's the local school boards trying to survive without the tax base to make all this stuff happen.
Yes.
So this is all part of that perfect dream of the American Manufacturing Institute pushing it, and the local school board saying, this is important. We've got to do this.
And I think, Larkin, you know BOCES. That's around Western New York here. They call it BOCES. It's a trade school. You're going to high school. I used to have the metal shops, wood shops in my high school, but then they started this BOCES program, which gave larger facilities to train industrial arts and whatnot. One of the problems, though, they took the kids, the slower kids and whatnot, and tied it to them, too, so they got a bad reputation. So a lot of people thought that's where the different kids go and whatnot. So they had the right ideas. They got to go back and look at the things that were done right, things that were done wrong, and continue to promote. Because, again, I'm growing pretty rapidly with my oil mining and military work. I'm looking for welders every day. When I sat on the East Coast with Boss Snowplow, who's owned by Toro now, a huge company, and we sit with 100 different distributors. They're all entrepreneurs and Mark Andles and business owners. Our number one problem was finding quality workers. Number one. Not just welders, mechanics, technicians, everybody. Number one in the whole group for the 2 days.
How is that even possible in America?
It's crazy.
Good people, Larkin and Mark and Henry. I have a special guest for the next few minutes. He's been on our broadcast about a month ago. Alex Jimenez, you know him from the Aviation Institute. Well, they're having a special summer camp for high school seniors and recent high school graduates. Alex, welcome.
Hey, Michael.
And by the way, I just want to mention, Alex was recently married, and I want to say a public congratulations to him. I saw Alex at another job fair last week. And he was, interviewing the people and talking with them. And I thought that job fair was also very good, Alex.
It was a very good job fair. Actually, we have some people that actually came to the school, gathered some information about our program here. And going back to what you were talking about, the summer camp that we have done it in the last 3 years here at the school. And I'm trying to see if we could promote this in a way that we could get some interest from the audience. This is completely free. There's nobody has to put money into it. Even the lunch is included for the students that want to participate in the summer camp. And why we're doing this is to promote, there's careers out there that individuals can do besides a four-year college, besides a two-year college. You know, we talk about working with the hands. They could get that training, that initial training of working with the hands and knowing what the aviation field is about. Like I was talking in the past, the aviation field, we do so many things in one trade. They'll learn the welding. They'll learn the sheet metal, the fiberglassing, the hydraulic systems, the electrical components of the plane, the brake systems. You can name it. There's so many things that they could do here. And the jet cam is just for that. To bring kids that are probably sitting at home, maybe watching TV, playing games, and actually not doing anything productive, to come in for a week, July 31st through August 4th, from 9 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock p.m., and learn what the aviation minute feels about. Maybe it's something that they could probably do in the future. I have kids in here that came to the summer camp after they graduated high school. They say, okay, this is what I want to do. I could use an example. My son is one of them. He came to the summer camp while he was in high school, senior year, graduated from the high school, and said, okay, I want to do this now. So August, next month, he'll be here with us a year in school. And it's for, like you said, recent senior graduates, 11th grader going to 12th grade, 10th grader going into 11th grade. We're trying to promote this where, we could get a younger crowd involved as well. The younger you talk to kids about the opportunities out there in this type of field or any type of field, the better chances you are in the future that they might spike interest on what I want to do as a career choice for the rest of their lives.
Alex, a few people did call our agency. I announced it on our radio broadcasts over the last week since we saw each other last. And a few people did contact me. I emailed them the flyer. And also one person called me and said they were out of college for a year. Would they still be eligible to attend the class, the camp? And I said, well, you ask, you call Alex and ask him directly. But I know you. We got a few of the people who contacted you as a result of our broadcast, and I want to say thank you to them. And if your son or daughter is going to the camp, which starts this Monday, the 31st, maybe they have a friend who would like to go to the camp, call them up and tell them to call Alex or to call that number, 215-676-7700. And if you would like to receive a brochure, the flyer that I downloaded and I send to the people who are interested, you can just go to unitedsocialservices.com or email me, michael@unitedsocialservices.com, and I'll make sure you get that flyer, because this is something very interesting. We have to present as many opportunities to our young people as possible.
And we have 15 slots still available for the summer camp. So that's 15 seats, 15 or 20 seats, depending on the max I could take is 30 students. So right now we have about probably going on 10 students so far. So there's still 20 slots available for anyone that wants to participate, you know, in this summer camp. All they have to do is reach out to me. There's no money down. They don't have to put anything. We'll provide everything they need except the transportation, of course. That has to be on the person's own. But the food is, you know, the lunch that the student's going to get here, the eye goggles that they're going to wear for the special projects that they're going to do. They get a chance to sit and taxi or plane here at the runway. They're going to be able to actually work with doing some work with the welding projects, and they're going to build a model aircraft that they're going to take home with them that's going to be made out of sheet metal. So, you know, and we're going to take them to the radio control tower so they can see how that operates and works. You know, so we could spike that interest on these kids nowadays so they could see there's a lot of things that they could do. And there's, you know, they could have a career for the rest of their life, and, you know, you could make good money working with your hands and building things and constructing things and taking things apart and putting them together. You know, you talk about 60% hands-on, 20, 40% classroom settings when you come to this type of education here as an Aviation Institute of Maintenance. So that if you want to, you know, get out of the traditional round and actually go in and learn more and work with your hands and actually build things, you know, this is a field that could be something that might fit for you.
And it's very easy to get to this place. It's at the Northeast Philadelphia Airport in Northeast Philadelphia, Grant and Academy Road. And if you would like to more information, you can call Alex today, 215-676-7700. Alex, thank you for joining us. And
Michael, thank you.
We'll look forward to talking with you again in the future.
Sounds great. Thank
Thanks
you.
So much. Larkin.
Hey Michael, I might sign up.
You know, I tell you, we were listening to the radio show, and people, we were listening to a rebroadcast when I talked about it last weekend. One of the people that was there had a son who was 1 year early into the process, just going on to junior year. And I said, well, then next year you have to put that on your list of things to do. And you have to do something to support this kind of stuff, because Alex is a very impressive person. He goes around to all the job fairs welcoming the people to come to the Institute. And when it comes to something like this, where it's totally free of charge and it's focused on the young people and allowing them to do something with their future, I think it's wonderful.
What an awesome program. It just sounds great. You know, I want to say, Mike and Larkin, I've been working with a lot of young people. Larkin, you'd love it. I just have a gentleman, Will Stock, going back to State College, PA. He's on his fourth-year program with Penn State. He took engineering and welding, and he spent the summer with us. And unfortunately, you know, he's got to go back, but me and his father had a deal. We got to make sure he finishes that fourth year. And, you know, yesterday I just interviewed another young gentleman. He's been a technician for 3 years. He's only 19 years old. At 13 years old, bought a welder. His parents didn't really want him to, bought a machine, always fixed things. And he's also a Marine. He joined up the reserves, and he's a Marine. So I interviewed him, and I pulled rank, and I told Dale, no, we're going to try this kid. I got good hope. But, you know, the point being, you look at a lot of resumes. When you hit that young gentleman, and a lot of time we talk about the young generation, there's good ones out there. They're smart. There's ones with drive. It's very very hard issue. It's a culture change is what had happened. We just got to keep looking and work with these ones we get. I've got a bunch of good ones. We got to spend time, and I'm asking them to spend time on their own to learn. They got to have the wanting to drive.
Yep.
And we sometimes sell, you know, the good ones short and only complain about the kids that aren't motivated, that want to stay home and play video games and do nothing. But there are so many good kids out there.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I wanted to brag on, one of my favorite people in the world that I've met in the last couple of years, that, you know, the Aviation Institute is filling a gap that I hope gets corrected real quickly. And that's kind of the gap of the missing dad, of the guy who promotes stuff like this. And I think the Aviation Institute in your life, Mark, was your dad, and you know, he saw to it that you know, that you were, that everything was right for fixing motors. And
yeah.
I mean, he pushed and promoted that stuff, and that's kind of one of those, again, you know, the perfect storm. One of the things that we're missing is that supporting those supporting parents that don't let kids play games for 7 hours a day. They insist that they do other things.
Yeah, so, you know, Larkin, when you mentioned that, I get chills because you met my father. My mom turns 80 this Monday. Don't tell her I said that. But
yeah,
great parents. But you don't know when you're learning and growing up and learning how to work with hand tools and fixing things. And my parents were poor, and we shopped at the Elma dumps, our local town dumps. And if a dishwasher went bad, you fixed a solenoid, but you found 20 more. Because you always had parts on hold. You know, but you don't realize what they taught you until later in life, and you realize you fixed your own vehicle and the money you saved. You don't realize the education they gave you by working with you. And you're right, Larkin. You know, that's missing a lot of times. Not even in schools, not exposing them to hammers and wrenches and saws and the basics. And that's what we're asking. We're asking parents and guidance counselors to say, hey, you know, even if you're going to be a doctor, you might have to fix your doorknob or something at home or change a spare tire. A lot of these people are missing them basic skills that they wish they had, I believe.
And, you know,
yeah,
Mark,
I agree.
You just bring up a very interesting subject, and I'd like to take a minute to say, right at this time of year, in fact, we just had a group of them come to the museum in historic Philadelphia, groups of counselors are meeting to get together and talk about issues that they'll have to address during the upcoming school year in September. Well, as I spoke to one or two of them, every one of them feels helpless. They don't know how to advise young people what to do with their life, because there is no place for them to go for this kind of training. They're putting all the money into behavioral issues and things like that, but it's not into issues where you'll have a future behind you. That's very unfortunate. And I think it's time that people like us start to speak up, where the National Counselors Association, when they go for their meeting in Atlantic City, that is one of the subjects that they should bring up on the top of the list. How are we advising our young people to create the best career for themselves? Going to the job fairs, Larkin, I see the people with beautiful resumes, dressed beautifully, coming around. I mean, all of us were there, Peter and Henry and Alex, everybody went. They're just wonderful people, and they're a joy to speak to, but they have no job, and they have no possibilities. And some of the people are really job ready. They're ready for a job, but the corporations are located in some other country.
Well, that's all part of the perfect storm. Even the good guys that really want to work, that have the talent and the future, you know, just it's not there. The economy is not strong enough yet. And in addition to that, as the economy grows, you know, we have to grow around it. It's like I say, we can't expect to create old style jobs. We've got to prepare our kids for the new America, for the new manufacturing, and that's not happening because schools are a little bit on the lost side, and sometimes I don't blame the teachers. When I went to school, if I got in trouble in school, I didn't care about the punishment in school. I just never wanted to come home. because I knew when I walked through the door, I was going to probably get nailed by my father for getting in trouble at school. And my father never was sympathetic to me. He never said, well, that's okay, son. Well, no, it wasn't okay. It was all about embarrassing the name, about not following orders, about not listening to my superiors. And, you know, he didn't care whether a teacher, you know, misspoke or whatever. That wasn't the important part. The important part was I wasn't listening, I wasn't showing discipline, and I was in trouble, period, amen. Doesn't make any difference what the subject was. And that kind of doesn't happen anymore.
No, not at all. You know, we saw in the last few weeks people who have done some pretty incredible things, and I got a lot of great comments as well about our broadcast with Brian Stewart from Flags of Valor. And in fact, I'd like to highlight him again today and ask you to look at his site. It's on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It's FOV, Flags of Valor. And also, I want to say a shout out now to Mike Sessions, because some people tell me that they've gone on that site. They are able to listen on their cell phone now. I wish that cell phone was made in America, but we're going to get it here someday soon. And I want you to make sure you let that place that is working on it, the Bach, get them on so that we would be able to talk to this person and see how we could help them as a people. When I was at the last job fair with Henry and Peter, there was a very nice woman there and two people with her who were engineers. And I had a very brief conversation. I said, and what are you looking to invent together? And she said, you know, we do a lot of things, but as soon as you start something in America, somebody from a foreign country comes in and just puts you out of business.
Yeah, they can't be the intellectual properties. Walmart was a master at five-year plans, getting the intellectual properties, undermining them, getting the person on board, knowing that they could never get the lower to the cost. So there's a big study. I had Daniel, my nephew, which we had on once at Mike, and he did his last college report on that, the Walmart effect. There's a lot to that, that should, you know, to how they take our intellectual properties and whatnot. There's so much to it, Larkin. Like you said, there's so many things we think we own that we don't now. All that's kind of undermining going on where nobody's really watching.
Well, and there's even a book called The Walmart Effect.
Oh, okay.
And that should be required reading for everybody in high school.
Yeah, I bought. There was one called China Inc. too. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but China Inc. Incredible. Showed the growth of Shanghai, 5,000 high rises a year. Nobody knows how fast they grew.
And they're all empty.
Yes.
And it's all at the core of their weak economy.
Yep.
Yeah, they need us as the consumer.
They need us, and as I said earlier, people in the stores that were selling all the cheap, cheap stuff are starting to go down the drain. They're slowly going out.
And Mike, you bring up a good point. That's a culture change.
People are just saying, do I really need that? In fact, you know what's really strange? You see more and more of these storage places popping up. It's only $39 a month, $75 based upon the space that you use. And when people go in there, they tell me, I've been doing that, and it's been already 2 years, and I visited the storage place about three times in 2 years, but they, you know, deduct it from my credit card every month. And I said, well, just go in there and clean it out, and you save yourself $75 a month. And that's what it is. People say, I'll look at it tomorrow. I may need it tomorrow. I may need it next week. But we've overpurchased the items that we don't need, and in the process of filling our houses up with all kinds of stuff, hurt American workers in the long run.
You know, I just seen this last weekend in the paper, our Bethlehem Steel, of course, from Buffalo, it said officials plan to take control of nearly 150 of the Bethlehem acres and create one of the most, best manufacturing parcels. I think more like an industrial park and whatnot. It's very interesting, though. Mike, I'll keep you up to speed on that as we hear more and more.
Well, we're seeing that happening in the Philadelphia area, too, where they're going into old factories, and instead of one person owning the factory, they're renting it out to 10 different smaller operations to make specialty jackets and boots and whatever. That's right. Wonderful. That's what the new economy is going to be all about. We're not going to...
Mike, someday we're going to have that Ricky Lee concert and we'll be at Toast by Larkin in the 100% Made in America toaster, and you'll have your cell phone 100%, if you can look forward.
Oh, I wish so. Oh, man. Mr. Martin Cooper, when he was asked about...
Henry's going to love
what he thought. Yeah, what he thought about all the cell phones being made overseas, he had no comment, because after he put his heart and soul into helping develop the car phone and then the wireless cell phone, to see all of those properties, all of those technologies just shipped overseas, mainly because we didn't want to pay workers here in America. Then when the sellers come over here, they say, well, of course we want to sell the foreign iPhones because we're making $165 a cell phone. I think it's time for people to start taking a real close look at how we're going to help one another. And in the process of helping one another, we'll help our economy. A person who has no job can't spend money that he doesn't have.
Right. You have to keep an eye on your country.
Right.
You can't forget.
Country first. And, I admire, the Ricky Lees and all of the people who are out there trying to motivate people. That's how it's happening. Slowly but surely. And Larkin and Mark and every listener and Henry and everyone else, this is happening at the very grassroots level. Broadcasts like ours. And I have to compliment, I want to say this too. We have over 20 radio broadcasters now each week that play my weekly commentary on their shows during their public service time. They do it that way because they don't want to make it look like they're pushing the Buy American Made campaign during their show when other sponsors may be on there selling foreign made products. So they do it during their public service time. But I can't thank these people enough because they are helping us motivate America to change.
Yep. There's no question of it. There's absolutely no question. And it's going to take that perfect storm. That's my new, as a matter of fact, I might write a book about the perfect storm.
I'm glad you're young, Larkin, because I've got a lot of things planned for you for next year.
We have to, at some point in the fall, we have to do this summit that we spoke about and bring in some of these Dream It, Do It people back onto the radio program. They were extremely interesting. And also bring in people that you work with, people at our local level here, people in Florida. Bring people together to share ideas.
Get them on the same track, Mike.
When those people tell me that the high school counselors don't spend that much time talking about your future, just what's happening you today, that's disappointing, because before counselors asked you, I remember being in grade school and the nuns passed out the paper. What do you think you're going to be? What are you looking forward to doing in high school, after high school? It was unbelievable. Today, none of that happens.
Yeah, so I had a meeting with Mary Livingston in the city of Philadelphia, and we were talking about something. And I was in a side conversation when the guy that was conducting the meeting turned to Mary and said, This Larkin guy's out of his mind. Does he think out of the box like this all the time? And Mary Livingston said, "Oh Lord, don't you dare tell him there's a box."
Very well said.
to that end, I want to suggest, I want to challenge you, Michael and Mark, and our entire organization. Let's have a bell-ringing event in Philadelphia in which we discuss all of the things that we'll call it the perfect storm. How, and I'm telling you, if Martin can get on a plane, he'll be there.
Yeah.
And if it's about Made in America and how we make this happen in America, we'll have a lot of politicians, including but not limited to the president. He will come and speak, I promise.
Larkin, it's strange you should say that, because about a month ago, Alex had invited Henry and Peter and me to go there to see their facility there, to possibly have such an event where we could get together and bring people in there. No parking problems at the airport there. I think we have
show
to
show the movie, Mike, again.
Show the movie. You know, and we're working on that, too, Mark. It's everything takes you know, a little time to happen, but we're looking to have it.
Sure,
I want to say thank
guitar.
You to all of you guys. It's getting near that time, but I want to say this, Larkin, Mark, Rich, who is on assignment, he'll be back next week, Henry, and everybody that's involved, all the broadcasters that repeat our messages about National Small Business Weekend, American Made Month, my weekly commentary. Slowly but surely, we're changing the hearts and minds of America's consumers, who really are the people who decide what they want to purchase and how they're going to support America's
Absolutely.
Economy. So please, guys, go out and look for American. Don't be afraid to speak up where you shop, because without you, we're going to go nowhere. We can be talking all day and night over here, but the person who goes out and spends the money and takes the time to speak up at the store where they shop really makes it happen. Closing remarks, Larkin.
Well, I oftentimes am in awe of all of us, especially Mark and yourself. And, you know, it's a problem that we face in this world. We've been talking about it for 5 or 6 or 7 years. And I'm in awe of how dedicated we are to getting this done. And I hope, being the spring chicken that Mark says I am, I hope that I get a chance to see all this come to fruition someday. I surely do.
You will. You will. And remember my statement, be better tomorrow than you were today, and things will move forward greatly. Mark, how would you like to send off the audience today?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank you, Mike, and Larkin, and Henry, and Rich, and the listeners for believing. I think, Larkin, you just hit it on the nail on the head. You know, all of us together can make change. We are. I stood in front of 5,000-6,000 people Friday night, and we all, you know, bleed red, you know, and it's just great stuff working together and making change. And it could, you know, the listeners out there are doing it. I want everybody to know it's alive and well, and we're making a difference.
Thank you, guys. And I want to say, remember, be better tomorrow than you were today, and things will get better for all of us. Until this Saturday at 11, or next Wednesday at 11 here on 860, thanks for tuning in. Remember, you can tune in to rebroadcast simply by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Have a great one.